everybody, and welcome to episode 253 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Kuznets, as always, and y'all have probably already noticed, unless you're a brand new listener, that the beginning of the show is different, and I'm talking about the music, because you know what? On the floor of Tokyo, or down in London town to go-go, with the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm just podcasting with myself. But yeah, I'm changing things up because, and I've been talking with a few of my friends behind the scenes and whatnot, I just kind of, I'm still trying to find this like perfect place where I am making the best possible podcast I can with the time that I have and the resources I have, and just without it being too much work or too taxing, and wanting it to be both not so much informational or anything like that, but to have it so I'm not kind of always like struggling to remember certain things and whatnot, but also I don't want it to ever feel too forced or too planned or too just kind of stale and sterile and just like I'm reading a podcast. You know, I don't want it to come across as like it's not natural and not just coming out of me as it's all going on. I don't know. I want it to be both natural and casual, but also, you know, somewhat structured and informed and trying to find some place in there. And I'm going back to the whole point, the whole side, the whole, I don't know what I'm, I see, this is part of my problem, is just I have a messed up head. But I'm going back to the way I did it, where I broke it off into segments, in that I record bits at different parts of time, but this time I'm going to do my best to, when it's possible, to record things in the moment. So if I'm really feeling super passionate about a movie after having just watched it, or, you know, just watched it within an hour or so, to record my thoughts right then and there while it's still fresh in my mind, so I don't try talking about it and then I'm like, there was this one scene but I can't quite remember it. Or, you know, playing a game and I'm super passionate or I get super upset, which you'll will hear about surely later on when I talk about Halo. But yeah, I wanted to be really kind of just, I want there to be a nice flow. I want this show to be the best show it can be for everything that I do. I don't know. I also am thinking about certain things and just Patreon related, and I want to set that up. I want to get that done and finished with, but there's a lot of kind of just nitpicking that goes on with that, and just kind of a lot of details, and having, for me at least, I don't know how it's with other people and other companies that do that, but I just want to make sure everything is fairly straightforward and that I'm not being too loose with what I'm saying or not 100% clear. Because I don't want it to be like, oh, for donating however much per month or whatever, subscribing, I don't even know how the terminology they use there. But I don't want it to be like, oh, I will do this, and then accidentally it makes it sound like I'll be doing something else. I want everything to be super clear. I don't want to screw it. It's a lot more work than you might think. You may look at Patreon and just think, oh, you just say, I'll do this for this month, I'll do this for this month. No, there's more to it than just that. You know, it's not that simple. But yeah, this particular episode is somewhat of a test episode, but I feel pretty good about it. I'm happy with what I've got to throw at your faces. So I'm just going to get right to that. And the way it's going to work, the basic format of episodes from now forward, one, depending on how much work it is, maybe I might have to cut it down to once a week and not twice a week, though I like having the two shows a week, personally. But the format is basically going to be, I'll be doing the intro every week and BSing and potentially having little side stories that don't really fall into specific categories, like, you know, games or whatever. It'll be like the whole, like, oh, there's a pretty lady at Best Buy, which doesn't really belong anywhere else, so I'll just have it in this opening nonsensical intro. And then I will just have the various segments cut up and put together, insulting Ninja all the way. And then when all that crap is good and done, I will record an outro. Instead of having a canned outro every time, I will have an actual outro that I record. And that's the plan as of right now. Unless people are like, I hate this so much. But on today's episode, episode 253, for I don't think I ever said the date, October 29th, 2015, a few days away from Halloween, which is going to suck if you're in Chicago, because Chicago is supposed to be, I think, in the highs around the low 50s and cloudy, I think, with a chance of rain. So, terrible day for Halloween and trick-or-treating, which will just lead to many, many people having so much leftover candy that they won't know what to do with it. Which is definitely going to be me. I don't want all that candy. I don't know what I'll do with it. But on today's very special episode, I talk about Halo and my adventures finishing that fight, which, did I finish it or did I not? You'll just have to listen to find out. Then I saw Steve Jobs, the movie, not the corpse or a photograph album of him. Saw that movie and I saw it with my dad. And then I was like, hey, Dad, why don't we talk about it? And that was a train wreck. So you get to hear that train wreck. You get to hear me just kind of lose it. So I also want to apologize because there are a few points in there where your speakers might destroy you. So just be aware of that. And then after that, I just talk about Steve Jobs myself because I couldn't get anything done with my dad. It's a disaster, but you know what? You can enjoy that disaster. And then after that, I talk a bit more about Beck, Mongolian Chop Squad, and then I'm done, and I hit the outro, which I'm going to record right now. So, we'll enjoy the rest of the show, and please let me know what y'all think. If y'all haven't already, of course, this is something I'm going to be saying again at the end, but if you haven't already, it'd be very, very appreciated. I would appreciate it if y'all subscribed and rated and reviewed the show on iTunes and all that jazz. Told your friends about it. Just support the show in whatever way you can. And when I do get the Patreon up, I'm not looking to have this become something that allows me to make a living off of just Pixelated Sausage. I mean, I want to create more content for the site, but even if just a handful of people decided to back the show $1 a month, that would actually mean a lot to me, just to know people are willing to spend even just $1. Even though $1 is nothing, I mean, $1 a month is literally like nothing. But that would just like warm my heart. Even if I ended up only getting like $5 from 5 different people every single month, I'd be like, you warm my soul. But yeah, when that all happens, I'll be talking more about it. But yeah, time to start the show with some Halo. 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 Ooh, I already did that in the Halo segment. So you get a twofer right there.
It's a ninja. Shing.
You know what's funny? Halo. Why? Because it's the worst. It's the worst game in the world because the library still sucks. It is the worst imaginable, and I am convinced that the person who designed the library level is the person who went on to become the lead designer for Destiny, because it's just the same over and over and over again and gets so tedious and it's boring as hell. It's not fun. You just keep seeing the same enemies, and they keep respawning and respawning and respawning until eventually they stop respawning because, for whatever reason, they wanted to make it seem like there's an unlimited respawn. But there's not. There's just a very, 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 very large supply of respawns. And it's not ever any fun. It's annoying as shit. It also introduces 343 Guilty Spark, which is basically Ghost version 1.0, and he's a total douchebag who just keeps laughing all the time. Sounds really creepy and weird, and he's an a-hole. And you find out in the next level why he's such an a-hole, because he freaking turns all the robots on you, and then it becomes even more annoying for a different reason, because it's a stupid sh**. Don't like it. Garbage. Piece of poop. Hate it. Not fun. Halo's still pretty good overall, but the library is still bad. It's still bad. I don't like it. It's not good. And maybe I was almost not going to just stop playing. I did not want to play anymore of this game. It was really, really annoying. And I thought that maybe I didn't finish this part after playing through it. Because I was like, maybe this is why I never finished the game before. But I remember getting past and the second part. The eighth mission after that. Anyway, friggin' library sucks. And you know what else sucks? It's disappointing that they call it the library, because the library is supposed to be a place you like to go to, a place you support in your little town, your village, your city. Who lives in a village anymore? Definitely no one who's listening to podcasts. But libraries are great. I love my local library. I like my local libraries. And to make libraries into this freaking thing you hate is bad. Halo, you're bad. You shouldn't make libraries places to hate. You should make them places to love. This should have been the best level in the entire game. But it's not. It's terrible. The Flood is annoying as shit. They just free you, shoot them, they die. Then they come back up because that's just what they're going to do. So you know that's going to happen. And then you shoot them again, they die. And then there are giant orbs that you just blow up and explode. One thing I do like that I noticed on this level, though, I do like the fact that at least grenades lying on the ground are freaking live grenades, so that if you throw a grenade near grenades on the ground, all those grenades will explode. I like that, because it means they're actually part of the environment before you pick them up. They're not just little standard thing, you know, they're not just pickups. They're actually part of the world, which is nice. Also is annoying, and why are there glass floors all over the place? And then they get blown out, and then I'm trying to just move backwards. I don't remember where I am in the f***ing level, and I just die. I just fall through over and over again. Fall through the ground, fall through the ground, fall through the ground. Woo! Stupid. Garbage. I don't want any of this. This makes me not want to play any more Halo. This is a nightmare. Why? Why is this still here? Why didn't they change this? They should just delete this level. It's not important. It's very important, but it's still so stupid. Who in their right mind thought, you know, it'd be fun if we just create a level where you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and we kind of even shove it in your face that we're going to be doing it over and over and over again by making you just go up at a stupid giant cylindrical elevator 3-4 times, and we'll even name the like checkpoints something cheeky. It's like, oh, it's gonna get much worse, or oh, you didn't want to get on, why do I have to go on the elevator again? We know you don't like this, but who cares? You are forced to do it because you can't do anything else, you stupid piece of crap player. We don't like you, Bungie. You suck. I mean honestly, was the second I saw 343 Guilty Spark, I'm just like, what the hell? I mentioned this already on the previous show, but this, Bungie, they didn't want to do something new with Destiny. Not really. There are different things, different aspects to it compared to Halo, but so much of it is just the same. It feels very much the same. And another annoying thing, though it's not so much at this point, it's just early on, is knowing that, and I don't think you get it in this game, I'm guessing, but in future games, you're able to use the energy sword, and seeing enemies use the energy sword and killing them and then having them not drop the energy sword for me to use it, this is very depressing because the energy sword is awesome. But yeah. You, Halo, you stupid piece of shit. Bungie, you garbage developer. You crap. Why are you making crap like this? Stupid.
You know what Bungie should do instead of making any more Destiny, which is just Halo rebranded in a different world? Well, technically our world. Well, Halo's our world as well. Who cares? I don't care. The story in Destiny is garbage. The story in Halo is f***ing garbage. There's nothing here. But you know what was great? A great Bungie game. Great Bungie franchise. I think there were two of them. And they should bring that back. Myth. Myth was so good. I love that game. Why don't they bring that back? Something different. I don't care. Put Flood in there. Have it flood with other crap. I don't give a rat's poop. But yeah, I'm almost done with Halo Combat Evolved. It'll be the first time I ever actually fully completed.
He's a ninja! Shing.
I was so ready to finish this fight, but I really don't know if I'm going to do it now. And I'm right at the end. I'm literally at the end of this game. I'm talking about Halo, okay? If you don't already know, finishing this fight. But it's not good. The funny thing is, people complain about the library. That's all they ever talk about. It's, you know, the library is the worst part of the game. You know, everything else is great. But the library, that's the bad stuff. You know what? That's not true. The real truth is, the second the Flood make their appearance in this game and don't leave, the game is bad. It is just bad. It is not fun. I have not had any fun since the Flood arrived. Yeah, the library was especially terrible because it was all Flood all the time. Just incessant, repetitive crap. But everything after that is also bad. And there's nothing that makes it. There's nothing that kind of says, okay, we know this is not that great, but here, you get this super cool weapon. You get to use the energy sword. No, there's nothing. There's nothing that's like, oh, I can tolerate all your garbage because you've given me this treasure. No, everything is bad. The 8th mission, whatever the hell I was doing, bad. You know what was fun? It was fun getting to Sergeant Keys in the face with my fist. It was really, I enjoyed fist f***ing the shit out of him. Though I didn't actually do it. I just saw a cutscene, though they didn't actually show that part in the cutscene, because why would they want to show that? I don't remember if this game was rated M or not. I think only Halo 3 was rated M, because there was blood all over the place. Ridiculous amounts of blood. Super bloody. I don't know why they decided to do that. But Halo 1, Halo Combat Evolved. You know, I was so excited because really after the library, it was bad. But I just felt this sense of, I had this drive. There was like this momentum of getting further in the game than I ever had before. And I knew I was very close to the end. And I was just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish this fight. I've got to do it, man. It's going to be great. And then I can play Halo 2 and find something else to be annoyed with and not finish that for years and years and years. But it's just not. I don't. One. Okay, there are multiple points to the reason why the end of this game is garbage. So at the very end where I am right now, and I know that there is just this last 6 minute part of the game, which is to get into a warthog and drive through all these garbage areas and make it across a few gaps and then reach a point before the whole ship explodes. Because the final mission, you go back to where you started, to go back on the giant ship, and you have to turn it into a giant Bob to blow up Halo so that Halo doesn't blow up everything else. Because Halo. 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 Oh, oh, Halo. Ooh, ooh. I'm not in any space to sing right now. So that's what they want you to do, is to navigate through this area that has all these pillars in the way, and you can't just go straight because
there's tunnels and all this stuff and whatever, but then they stop and you have to go to the side, and then there are just these like tight spaces which aren't fun to navigate through, especially, I mean, one of the biggest problems with having a driving section be your final section of a game is the fact that the driving in Halo is and has always been f***ing terrible. It is not good. It is some of the worst. It's almost a stretch to even call them controls because they are so terrible. Any game in the rest of the entire world compared to Halo has better controls. I know that there are some people out there who really like the way the Warthog and all the vehicles in Halo control. I think they're all garbage. I don't enjoy any of them. Not really. Tanks, garbage. Of course, they don't all suck to the extent that the Warthog sucks, because it's just really, really terrible, because it's almost like it's no matter what surface you're driving on, like it's on ice. And you flip it, then you fall out, you have to flip it back and get back in the car, and it's so sensitive. It's like, oh, you poor baby. And even if you start spinning out and you kind of get off and onto two wheels, you could get knocked out of the car, out of your stupid Warthog. And then I don't remember if they told me the controls. I don't know what they are. And going into the menus is not good, because as far as I could tell when looking in the menus for the settings and the controls and just to see the control scheme for the game in the Master Chief Collection, at least, I don't think you can see, or I just don't know where I have to go to see the control scheme for the various vehicles. I can only see what it is for basic Master Chief controls. And I'm like, I don't need that. Tell me how to control this piece of garbage that you have me driving in. And like, the reason why I'm saying that is because if I get flipped out of the car, I don't know how to switch space. I don't even know if that is possible in the first game to enter on the passenger side of the Warthog and then switch to the driver's side right away. I don't even know if that's possible. So that means I have to navigate to the other side of the car, the driver's side, to enter. It's not fun. And I don't know if I'm going to finish this fight. I don't, because I don't care enough. I really don't. It's not been fun. And before this, I had to go around and I had to open up these parts of the ship to blow up the ship. I had to throw grenades in all these vents and crap. And that was a lesson in, or no, it was a reminder in how Halo has always, always sucked at checkpoints and how they don't make any sense. Because I feel like if you're doing something that has clear objectives, and it has four objectives, you have to blow up these four vents, and you can only do one at a time. So you can only open one vent at a time, and then you can't do anything else until you blow it up. So the second you blow up one of the vents, I feel like you should be able to, not that you shouldn't be able to do whatever, that the game should give you a checkpoint at that point in time. There should be a checkpoint because you've cleared part of that. And it shows how the checkpoint doesn't make any sense, because if I navigate to a different part of the map, I'll get a checkpoint. It isn't always objective based in terms of the way checkpoints are handled. In many aspects, it's just like, oh, you've passed this invisible wall that is a checkpoint wall, and if you go back and forth between it, it'll just keep giving you new checkpoints over and over and over again. It's like, no. But also annoying in that section was I would throw grenades at this vent, and I would wait till it's open, and I would do it, and it wouldn't blow up. And then I would do it again, wouldn't blow up. Again. It just seemed to blow up when it felt good and ready. And I just did not. I did not like that. So here I am, looking at my TV. The screen is paused, And it's at the very end of Halo. Halo 1, to be exact, to be specific. And I've never made it this far in the game. I'm so close to finishing this fight. Though I know that I'll only be finishing this small section of the fight, and then there's so much more fights to go on. And I don't know if I'm going to do it, because I don't feel I've lost all my drive, I've lost all ambition, I'm defeated by this game. This game has defeated me at this point, because, one, the story is garbage. What story is there? I don't care. It doesn't do anything for me. And with that, my only reason for finishing it would be to get whatever achievement I would get out of it, and to actually say I finished it, and to finally say I finished it. But do I care enough? I don't know. All I know is that I could be a lot more volatile right now, and a lot more yelly and super, super vulgar and just angry. But I don't want to be that. I don't want to feel that right now. So,
Inside Ninja! Shing.
I finished the fight, and it wasn't worth it. Not at all. It didn't give me a satisfying little cinematic at the end, though I don't know what I was expecting, and I didn't feel like I accomplished anything. Not really. It was just sort of, oh, okay, let me just do this, because I know I literally have a few minutes left until I actually finish this game. And wouldn't you know it, I quit out from the game earlier today, put it back in, loaded it up. I failed the first time, but you know what? There was a checkpoint halfway through my little car running thing, majigger, I don't know. There was just like, oh, we decided to give you a checkpoint halfway through, so you don't have to go through this whole thing all over again. Why didn't that happen last time when I played through and got past that point over and over and over again, but then would fail? I don't know. But this has been a problem with every Halo game through at least Halo 3. I don't know how ODST handled checkpoints, and I can't remember Halo Reach, the little bit I did play, and I didn't play any of 4, so 1, 2, and 3, what I played of 2, I beat 3, and now I've beaten Halo 1. The checkpoint system is absolute trash. It is the worst, because it tries to be smart. Bungie clearly wanted to implement a smart checkpoint system. A checkpoint system that it wasn't built around hitting specific points, but that it would kind of adapt to where you were or what you have done, and it would create checkpoints when it would seem like that's the right time to have a checkpoint. You know, it would be like, hey, we are watching you play. We know when it would be good for you to get a checkpoint, because we know you've done all this and you wouldn't want to do all that again. So here's a checkpoint. You can have it. You've done good. You've earned it. Good job. It's like getting a gold star in school, except for in this case, you just get gold stars in bunches when you don't feel like you really need them. And then you don't get any gold stars when you feel like you've deserved them for a really long time. And you're just like, I don't get you, teacher. What is wrong with you? Stupid. It is, I don't know if it's funny or if it's sad, but the end of Halo 1, the end as in the library and everything after that, I don't want to say I hate Halo, because I don't hate Halo. It's still a very fun game to play when you're not fighting against the Flood or riding around in a Warthog. The other vehicles are tolerable, but I hate the Warthog so much. Unless I'm a passenger, then I'm cool. If I'm a passenger, I'm all good. This is reminding me of Halo 3, because that nightmare, I hope this isn't the way 2 ends, because then I don't like that trend of, hey, you know what's great? Ending a game with a driving sequence, because one, our games are primarily about driving, and two, we've created the greatest control scheme ever for vehicles, specifically ones with 4 wheels. No, none of that is true. None of that is true. But yeah, It was bad. It was bad. And that experience, these last few missions have just kind of made me, one, not really interested in continuing the fight. Because, of course, I know I didn't finish the fight. Not really. There's still Halo 2 and Halo 3 and 5, 6, 7, 8. There's just like so many. But I kind of don't want to play any more Halo now. And maybe I just need a small break from this. Because, I mean, I have Divinity. I'm going to be playing Divinity right now anyway. But I'm really kind of not interested in anything Halo. Though, that's not true. Anything single-player Halo. Unless it's replaying ODST, because I friggin' love ODST. It's such a good game. I don't feel like any Halo fan wouldn't have played ODST. But if you're somebody who's played maybe a Halo game here and there, and you didn't like them, I still strongly recommend playing ODST. It sucks that the only way to play it on current gen consoles is with the Master Chief Collection, and with, you don't get it for free anymore. So that sucks that you can't just download it individually and play it standalone. At least I don't think that's possible. It would be awesome if that was the case, but I highly recommend getting a copy for 360 or going this route if you want to maybe play the other Halo games too. But ODST is something truly, I don't want to say it's special, but it grabbed me way more than I ever expected it to. I love ODST. And this is coming from someone who was never into Halo, still definitely isn't into Halo, especially after this experience. And ODST just kind of blew me away. Super surprising, super different. But yeah, check that out. And Combat Evolved, I'm happy to say I've evolved, and my evolution is the final evolution of Pokemon Halo, so I don't need to play any more Halo. I'm done. Goodbye, Halo. It was pleasant for a bit, and then it was really bad. And then it was over, and like a bad relationship. I got some good memories. The more recent ones are bad, and hopefully in time, I'll just remember the good ones.
Shing. This is a terrible idea. Forget it. Let's just go. Bye-bye.
No, we could just do a five-minute thing for the hell of it. Just erase it.
So I just came back from the movies.
Yeah.
Saw Steve Jobs with my dad.
How come you're not talking into
because
that?
I'm telling them what we just saw.
Oh, okay.
Why are you just... I'm not. This is a terrible idea.
This is like a, you know, a rehearsal kind of a thing. Just
no, it's not. This is all going on. I'm going to put all this crap on.
No, you're not.
Yeah. So we just saw Steve Jobs, the movie.
Okay.
That's okay. What we saw. What did you think of it?
It was okay.
It's okay, that's it.
Didn't impress me that much.
What were you expecting?
I thought they were going to go back to the beginning, like when they showed the little piece of the garage.
Why? You should go see the Ashton Kutcher movie then. That's exactly what it's all about.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, maybe I'd like that one better.
You probably would. He looks a lot more like Steve Jobs, too.
Well, I don't think so.
If you haven't seen the movie, you don't know what Steve Jobs... Fassbender looks like Fassbender.
You're right. I don't remember what he looked like. I only know the ones I've seen, you know, later on when he
was
had
there anything
short
you
hair.
Particularly liked about the movie or anything that stood out? Either way, you really like this part. You really don't like this part. You just, it's okay. Then we're
all
done.
It's okay. I don't, there was nothing really, you know, I like this part more than that part.
So that you have nothing to talk about then, really?
Not really.
Exactly. So what's the point of it? You're just indifferent. I'll ask you this question, because I noticed this, and I don't know if I was just not hearing it in the beginning. Kate Winslet or whatever, who played Joanna, his assistant, who I never even knew.
That was her PR.
I never even knew she existed until
this. I guess she was with him for a lot of years, too.
I swear, because this is the movie's broken up into three product launches.
Uh-huh.
In the first section of the movie, I didn't think she had an accent. And then the second two, I could hear her Eastern European accent.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice that.
To me, I didn't hear anything in the first. I was just like, oh, she's just a white woman from America.
No. I didn't notice anything.
What did you think about the whole father-daughter thing?
I could understand that part. I mean, 94%, whatever they said when they did the test.
I didn't ask you what you think, if whether or not she was his daughter. This isn't Maury Povich. I was asking you about that part of the movie, that storyline.
Well, I think they dealt on that quite a bit. I don't know if that was really...
Did you like seeing that, or did you not care? Did you like, I don't give a shit about his daughter, his
I cared, but I think they kind of maybe dealt on that a little more so than, you know, Steve Jobs and Apple and all that kind of stuff.
Well, this was about Steve Jobs. It wasn't about Apple. It wasn't about his products. It was
about him. Yeah, but Apple was a big part of his life.
So was that.
Yeah, but he kept saying that, you know, that wasn't his daughter and
stuff. But he kept supporting her. He continued to support her the whole time.
Later on, I mean...
No, his entire life. He would always give in. He would fight back against the
mother. Yeah, but it seemed like it started when she was like 6 years old. He said, yeah, okay, I'll buy you a house.
That's when the movie started. We didn't see prior to that.
Well, prior to that, I guess he didn't help her. He said he was going to buy her a house when she was 6 years old, so I'm assuming he didn't do anything prior to that.
We don't know what happened until that point.
I don't know. That's the way the movie came out. That's what I got out of it.
Whatever. You didn't want to see it, and you didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
Yes, you didn't. Oh, it was okay. It was nothing.
I would like to have seen the documentary probably instead, because I think that would be more informative.
You can go buy that. $6.99 on Amazon.
Okay, get it.
Or iTunes. Should buy that one through iTunes instead for a change, just because it's a Steve Jobs thing. Maybe they don't even sell it because maybe it says bad things about him. I don't know.
No, I'd like to see that.
You need to watch the Ashton Kutcher one.
I'll probably watch that too.
Watch it right now. When
I'm
you get
watching home. It now. I'll watch it another time.
You'll like it. You'll be like, ho-ho.
Yeah, because this one wasn't that interesting to me. I don't know. I was surprised he messed up that much. I mean, after that Apple, what was it? Was that Apple II, that second one?
That was not his. He was doing the Macintosh, and the Macintosh failed.
What was the one that gave him all the money in the beginning? They said they made all the money
Apple
for the company.
Apple II.
Oh, that was Apple II?
Yes.
Oh, the Macintosh was the second one.
The Macintosh
that
was
failed.
His thing. Yes, that failed.
And that was his idea.
Yes.
And that was because
closed
it was...
platform.
But isn't that what Apple's always been? Closed?
That's not what they've always been. That's what he... That's his mentality, because he's a head.
Yeah, but I thought Apple, you can only use Apple.
What was the Apple II? Did you not even watch the movie? They talked all about the Apple. Just go. You're done. We're done.
I'm done. Okay, thank you.
There you go.
We should do more on things that maybe I'm more...
No, we should... You're really. You're...
I'm just not good at it. Or maybe you should... It should be...
Arrivederci.
You should talk.
Arrivederci.
No, you should.
There's nothing to talk about. You're indifferent about the movie. You're like, oh, it's okay. I feel nothing about it either way. It's whatever. I didn't like this. I didn't like this.
This
I didn't like
that
this.
Book club I joined that time. And I
okay.
discussed stuff.
Okay, we're done. We're done. Movie. Goodbye.
Okay. Hey, we should talk sports. Let's talk about the Cubs.
I don't give a about the Cubs. You don't either. You freaking.
Yes, I do.
No, you're
well,
not.
That's what we should
you're
talk
a,
about.
You're a fair weather fan.
I am not a fair weather
fan.
When they stink, they stink.
And you don't give a about them, but when they're winning, I'm a Cubs fan.
Why should I care about them when they stink?
Then you're a fair weather fan, that's what it means!
That is the owners are...
No, that doesn't! Go get out of here! No. I'm done! Shut up! It's in the goddamn car!
It's a ninja! Shing.
So, I saw the Apple II movie. No, it's the Steve Jobs movie, and I really enjoyed it. It did make me want to go out and read up on Steve Jobs and maybe check out that documentary. I, of course, know that I'm not sure if this is the movie that's based off the Walter Isaacson book, but either way, I know that no matter what I read or watch or anything at all, that I'm going to get someone's opinion or I'm going to get loose facts either way. There's nothing I can find that would be particularly positive towards Jobs or negative or somewhere in between that will be giving me the 100% truth. Even if Steve Jobs himself was telling me all the details, of course, it's the details according to him. If I was to talk to his daughter, she would give me the details according to her. Everything is skewed to some extent. And skewed in one way or the other. But not basing Steve Jobs, the movie, on whether it's factual or not, or how factual it is, I thought it was a really entertaining movie. I really liked it. I am a big fan of Aaron Sorkin. It is very Aaron Sorkin. And I thought the whole three-act setup was kind of interesting, though... For some reason, I kind of wish they... It never really hit the points where Steve Jobs was already... Not to say he wasn't successful before, but it hit the Macintosh, then next, then the iMac.
So it didn't hit the iPod or anything. You know, it had a little hint of the iPod at the very end, but for the most part, it was all these earlier events and nothing when Apple became the Apple we know today. And I also really, I personally liked the father-daughter stuff because, one, I don't know much about Steve Jobs in general as a person because I was never too inclined to look him up and to learn more about him because I've never been the biggest Apple fan. I do like the fact that Apple products are, you know, for the most part, you are much more secure in knowing that you have a solid piece of hardware and software and all that jazz because the one benefit of being a closed platform of Apple having the control is that when they're creating a piece of hardware, they know what components are being used to make that. And it's the same in every single machine. They don't have to worry about, you might upgrade your CPU or you might upgrade your graphics card and that's not going to be compatible with your processor or the RAM you have installed or you're going to need this. It's like, they don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. You know it's going to work. The OS is closed. Only this, you know, these certain approved things can be installed on it, etc. It means that you don't have as many options, but you do have at least the comfort in knowing that when you want it to do something, something it's capable of doing, that it's going to do it. And it's not going to fail. In most cases. I appreciate that. But I like having that the freedom of choice and just having more options. So I've never been the biggest Apple fan. I do like some of the products. And of course, there are things that I've really liked about them. I mean, the iPod, while it wasn't the first, it really kind of just made it a lot simpler. I feel like the iPod is the, and this may be true, like, not financially, but historically, to me, when I think of Apple or what is their defining product, it's the iPod to me. The iMac was this interesting looking, colorful computer. I was like, oh, but it didn't do anything for me. I wasn't like, oh, I need one. I just thought, oh, that kind of looks cool. That's what they're replacing all the computers at school with. But the iPod, that was just this thing where it wasn't even something that's never been done before, but it was just done so well, so simply, beautiful design, worked, solid piece of hardware. You could drop that without a case, and that thing kept working and working and working. You know, the iPhone, it's fine. It's like, oh, it's a more advanced PDA. The iPad, it's a bigger iPhone, really. That's all it ever was and is. But yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. And also, with Apple, the one thing I will say is, I don't know, I lost my train of thought. There was somewhere I was going with that. Yeah, no. Looking at them now as a company, not even talking about the movie, though, I think it is very clear that Steve Jobs' influence has, or it's beginning to wane, because I really do feel that, and it, whether you look at it as a positive or negative, he was very, he wanted to do things his way, and he wanted things to be closed and simple for the consumer, while having all the control himself, not giving it to the consumer. And with them introducing these multiple sizes of iPhone and the iPad Pro and this, like, I don't know, there's these various Macs and all this other stuff, I do think that it's starting to grow into something not bad, but just not Jobs-esque. And I don't know what that means for the company and its future. Not that I think Apple's suddenly going to die, but it'll be interesting in the next, I don't know, 5 or 10 years to see where Apple is. But yeah, I like the Steve Jobs movie, even though my dad didn't, though I knew that wasn't going to be the case. It was a terrible idea to do this podcast. I don't know how much of the dad bit, the father-son bit made into this show. I'm getting close to finishing Beck, Mongolian Chop Squad, and it's funny, actually, because it's a music-themed anime, and it's rated really highly. And people are all about, you know, if you're into music, you should definitely check this out. And I've talked about music quite often and how much I'm a big fan of music. I've said it before numerous times, but if I could be anything, if I could do anything for a living, I would really, really love to sing. Because that's just what I love to do. It makes me feel all warm and gooey on the inside. And while I enjoy the music aspects and the music side of Beck, I also kind of, it's not what really keeps me watching. In part because there's only really a handful of songs that are played over and over and over again. And that makes sense. This is it's an anime about a group of numbskulls who are attempting to make it as a band in Japan. And, you know, they start making their way in the States. And, you know, it's their rise. I don't know if they will rise into anything or just, you know, fade away. But any band, when they're first starting out, they only have a few select songs, typically, that they really kind of push forward to just bash it into everyone's head. Hey, this is our song. Whenever you hear this, think of us. Think of Beck. And you know what? Your few songs, you're rapping. Less racist, of course. That song, and I enjoy it. But at the same time, I would like to hear some more. I would actually really like to hear more of Yukio's singing. But he doesn't get to sing too much at this point. And I still don't find him to be the most amazing singer, but I do love it whenever he sings the Dying Breed song, the Moon, whatever, Howl at the Moon, Moon Sway. Moon Sway, gently the night, oh, one fine day. I really, really, one, like that song just in general, and two, like his vocals a lot on that song. But the music isn't what really keeps me coming back to watch more and more, and what is making me stay with it to finish it. And that's making it sound like I'm not the biggest fan of the music in the show, and that if not for other things, I'd stop watching. I like the music. It's just that what has surprised me, and actually pleasantly surprised me, is that I think Beck does a really, really good job of capturing what it's like to be in that age bracket where, well, basically like a coming-of-age story, where you're in 14 to 16, and you're going through changes, body, emotional, physical, all that jazz, you know, in high school and stuff. And it does a really good job of capturing what that's like, of capturing the personality of boys and girls at that age. But at the same time, I'm confused a bit about the passage of time. I really don't know how old these people are anymore. I don't know how old the other ones are. Like, Ryusuke, no idea how old he is, actually. No clue whatsoever. I think at this point, Yukio and Maho are 16 years old, and I'm guessing that just because when Yukio and Suka were given this magazine that had Maho and, it wasn't a bikini, I think it was, I don't know if it was bikini or lingerie, it wasn't, not, either way, she's wearing a very revealing outfit that was essentially either bra and panties or a bikini top and bikini bottom. And they were looking at that, and whatever his face is, I can't remember his face, Chiba. He was like, oh, look at her. She's gonna be wanted by all the boys all over the world now. And then Suka, of course, has a bloody nose, because what's an anime without a bloody nose? But that's the only reason why I was like, oh, they must all be 16 years old now. They were 14, like, two episodes ago. That's exaggerated. I have no idea, like, how much time has passed. Really, I just don't know. And I don't know how old they are right now in this moment where I'm at, like episode 20. So I got about 6 episodes left to go. It's just like, all right, okay. You don't get a lot of their actual school life, which is a bit, I guess it's not problematic because it's not about their school life. It's about the music life and it's about these characters. So why waste time dealing with school? You get some of it, but for the most part, it's not about that. And that could be part of the reason why the passage of time has just kind of been like iffy and just not that clear. But yeah, I really like the way they handle the series as a whole handles these various characters. Though, like I said, with one of Yukio's friends, he looks just like he's super, super old. In the same sense, Shiba is going to the school that Yukio goes to after his entrance exams. And I thought Shiba was like 20-something and out of school for a while at least now, but apparently he's not. So there's also just both in character design and the way they portray characters that is sometimes not that clear in terms of how old they are. But I'm digging it. It's good. It's a quality show. And I really, 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 really love Maho. I think she's a wonderful character. I think she's really well realized for a girl of that age. And she's portrayed very well in just how someone like her would be very kind of fragile, but also strong at the same time. And just kind of want, it's clear that she wants something, but that she doesn't want to let it be so clearly known. It's like trying to, it's almost like she's fishing in a way, and she's trying to slowly reel in Yukio, and he's a very hesitant fish. He's very worried. He's very concerned. He sees the lure, and he's like, ooh, I don't know. It looks so good. It looks so good. I really want that. I do. I want that lure, but I know. I just don't know. I just don't know. And that's kind of like what their whole relationship feels like, but yeah, that's what's keeping me coming back for more. I really, really, one, just like the characters, and I really like this coming-of-age story between the younger characters on the show. The whole musical, like, stolen guitar and stolen dog and just craziness and they didn't attempt to murder him, but like potential death and just like the crazy kind of almost mobbish esque stuff going on. That's just all a bit much for me. I'm like, why is this in here? It's like, I wanted a story about music. Why did we have to have all this stuff that has murder in it and theft and all this craziness going on? This really, really, really crazy stuff. I don't need that, and I'm not the hugest fan of that. I also continue to find the friggin' stuck. The English is just so terrible.
There comes a special day while they're on tour. It's a beautiful scene. Tokyo, a city of noise and chaos. Techno city.
Come on.
And, like, I don't... It's just like they figured, hey, Americans all talk like robots. Those white people, they just talk the same. They're like, yeah, dude, like, I'm totally this. This is the way the white people talk on the show. What the hell? I don't even thank you. Okay, what? All right. This is going to be the best day ever. I don't know. It's like getting close to John Wayne or something there. I'm gonna tell you something, and this is gonna be the greatest. I don't know. I don't like John Wayne, so that was a terrible impression. But I like Beck, and I also find it funny that they're called Beck when there's a singer named Beck. And I'm not No, Beck was around definitely when the show existed. And I'm not sure if that's why in the actual anime they're like, we have to change your name when you come to the States. When we release your CD in the States, we have to change the name. And they don't say it's because of that, but I wonder if that's what their argument is in that sense. But I do really like the shut up, stupid messenger. I really, really do like that the song Moonsway or whatever the hell it's called when Yukio sings it. That's my favorite song by far on the show.
Inside Ninja! Shing!
And that right there is the end of this here episode of Pixelated Sausage, of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Huznes. I hope y'all enjoyed the show and my just complete downhill trajectory with Halo and my potential never playing Halo again, which definitely, that's not going to happen. I'll play some Halo. And I hope y'all definitely enjoyed the father, son, Steve Jobs, I don't even know what to call that. It wasn't a review, wasn't really a conversation. It was just a bunch of bickering, which I don't know if that makes for good podcasting or not, but who cares? Whatever. It was fun for me, kind of. And then, of course, Beck. I'm almost done with that, and I hope y'all enjoyed that little shindig as well. So, if y'all would like to follow me in the various places that I am capable of being followed, y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope now, Snapchat, Xbox Live, at PX Sausage. That is, again, PX Sausage. And, of course, that's Twitter and all that jazz. So look for me there. If you want to know if it's me or not, just look at the picture. I use the same dumb picture of my face everywhere. Which just means somebody hearing this right now could be like, I'll just take that picture and make profiles everywhere else, and it'll be him. So don't just trust the picture. Trust the PX sausage. Which will give you cancer, apparently, that sausage. And, of course, the site is pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this show and all the crap I do, as well as the other podcasts I record, Pixelated Radio, which is all about video games. Check that out. That's available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and all that jazz and whatnot, just like this show. And if you're interested in listening to other podcasts, one, another great video game podcast is the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. If you're into racing, you should check out Sports Car Unleashed at scunleashed.com. And then if you're into nonsense, go to undercoverunitards.com. And if you would like to comment or email the show or just contact me in general, y'all can do it in various ways. One, you can tweet at me at PX Sausage. That's typically the best way. Or you could email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Or you can comment on the post, which is always appreciated. Or if you're feeling super, super crazy, leave a voicemail, 312-772-5874. That is, again, 312-772-5874. And, yeah, that will do it for this here episode. Once again, as I said earlier in the show, if y'all haven't already, please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, because that really does help. Even if you don't use iTunes, just install it for this one small little occasion and then delete it and delete your account and all that, because it really does help more than you might think. But that is it. That is all. Arrivederci. Have a safe Halloween. If y'all are parents out there taking your kids trick-or-treating, make sure they are safe. They are dressed well. That is to say, they're not dressed in anything dark and running around in the middle of the street at night. And always, always check what candy they've gotten. If they've gotten only candy, that would be great. Maybe I'll get some pennies. I don't know if people still give out pennies, but don't forget to check what they actually got before letting them just go crazy and
look for themselves, because you never know what you can get. Anything open, don't touch it. But yeah, especially if they're open flies. Why'd I have to get all dirty and nasty? Bad mark. Bad mark. Bad mark. Bye-bye.